To put it mildly, it is so good to see you. We're family, and I thank you for all of your contact, whether it be just a brief little email note, a text message. Marilyn and I really, truly appreciate you all, and we're very, very blessed. And I know none of our families have been untouched by this mess called COVID. But I got to tell you, once it hits you, and many of you know or have loved ones that it hit, just trying to get up out of bed is a chore. And we're very, very grateful to be back once again with our family that we love so much. Deacon Bob did a great job the last several weeks with a deacon's mask. That's not normally what he does, but he jumped in full bore and did an outstanding job. Deb, on the organ last week, thank you. Don't go too far from the organ, I think you have a spot. Being quarantined over the past few weeks, I had the opportunity to reflect back on some of the wonderful places that were the scenes of the Holy Gospel these past few weeks, whether it be Nazareth, where Jesus spoke and said, "Today in your hearing, these words are being fulfilled," whether it was the wedding feast of Cana, or whether it's the Sea of Galilee as we have today, or Capernaum, there's certainly no exception. The gospel brings us to one another, to one of the most, my most favorite places on the earth, face of this earth, and that is Lake Gennesaret. Now you might be saying to yourself, what is Lake Gennesaret? It's got many names. Lake Gennesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Kinneret. Kinneret means harp, and that's the shape of the Sea of Galilee. Being able to just look out on that beautiful sea, knowing that Jesus stood on the shoreline of the beautiful water, is nothing short of inspiring. Having been there twice in our lifetime, I can only begin to describe it to you and say to you that if you ever have the opportunity, and by the way, Israel is open again, if you ever have the opportunity to go and visit the Holy Land, please do so. It will speak to you. Make sure you bring your Bible with you because it jumps off the pages. Meryl and I have been to Bermuda several times. We went to Bermuda on our honeymoon. We've been to the Alps of Switzerland. We've been to Paris. We've been blessed to have traveled to some really outstanding places in this world. This place that has several different names tops them all. And then Capernaum, the seaside village where the gospel today took place. Believe it or not, with the exception of the ruins that are there, that remains mostly unchanged to this day. It really is outstanding. Well, it was here that Jesus met a man named Simon, which we come to know as Peter. These fishermen are making a livelihood from catching fish. It's also found in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1. We learn that Andrew, Simon's brother, is there, and so are his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who later would become known as the sons of thunder. Jesus tells them that from now on, they're going to be catching men. They were so amazed by what had just taken place with this huge boatload of fish that Deacon Bob just talked about, that after they brought their boats in, there's going to be no question at all in their minds, they're going to follow Jesus. Believe it or not, there was going to be a great transformation in their lives. An eventual transformation from fishermen to shepherds, all the way traveling to John chapter 21. It's a great difference between catching and keeping. Those of you that have been fishing, whether it's on a river, a lake, a stream, it's not that hard to stand there all day and catch a fish. But then you have to try to clean it, keep it, or if you're bringing it home to use it to put it into a local pond, there are things that you need to do. But the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd is amazing. That transformation would take the better part of 3 years to happen. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Folks, this is a personal invitation to service. It's no small thing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus Christ to set aside your own goals and pleasures and grab hold of the purposes for which God created each one of us. To know Him in a personal way and to make disciples of others. A disciple means follower, by teaching them all of Christ's commands. All those who truly follow Christ must exchange their affections, their dreams, their thoughts, their goals, their priorities in exchange for His. Now, when Jesus invited the fishermen, the goal had been to be successful fishermen. That's all they really wanted in life was cha-ching, to be able to bring the fish in, haul it in, and get paid. But in asking them to put aside this goal, Jesus commanded them to follow Him, and He would make them catching men from now on. I don't know about you, but I'd be scratching my head on that one. You want me to catch men? Okay. All I'd be thinking of, and now today, day and age, is that old song, "It's Raining Men." Hallelujah. I got you. I see you. Okay. Jesus is not just talking about men, but all mankind. Jesus didn't simply command His disciples to become fishermen or fishers of men, but rather He promised to teach them, to transform them. How does fishing for men relate to following Jesus Christ? Well, they caught fish by nets, and by experience they found that the best time of day to catch fish was at night. And so they had torches, they had torch lights there. We know this is true by looking at verse 5 of today's Holy Gospel. In Luke 5:5, Jesus told Peter to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. And Peter, not really knowing Jesus that well at this point, stood there and said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." How they fish at night? They used a very powerful and effective lure. Light. Fish are attracted to light. It's a very effective method that Jesus uses to draw people to Himself. Light. And John tells us that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's John chapter 8, verse 12. Just as fish are attracted to the disciples' light, God wants people to be drawn to His light, shining through everyone who is a believer of His Son, Jesus. The light of every believer is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Paul stated in his second letter to the Corinthians, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are not the light. We merely reflect the light of Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Let's face it, to follow Jesus is to answer His invitation that required complete and immediate detachment from everything else. Peter and Andrew left their nets, suggesting they walked away from their livelihoods. They walked away from their jobs, their homes, their careers, and their businesses, along with their partners, James and John. James and John left their father Zebedee, suggesting that following Christ takes precedence even over maintaining close proximity to family. and business, and their partners, Peter and Andrew. The requirements for following Jesus are not the same for everyone. And it also means leaving family connections. I know what both of these are like, because we were transplanted from occupations and families to serve him in his church. A church in our community here in Douglas was devastated, destroyed by fire just a few days ago. If you travel 158 South, the Douglas Christian Fellowship Church of God and their pastors, Heath and Shannon Wengard, the church was destroyed on Wednesday night. Apparently, a gas tank exploded, but praise the Lord, everybody was able to get out safely. Give thanks to God that all of the congregation was able to escape. And this morning at 10:30, they had while we're serving here, they had a parking lot service, or they're having a parking lot service, to seek God in their way forward. Keep them in prayer, if you would, please. There have been times in the life of every Christian when they recognize that the greatest thing that they could do in this life was to introduce someone else to Christ. Our beloved St. Andrew is a perfect example. That's what he did. He went and he told his brother Peter about the neatest guy that he found out about, that he met. He and John were present at the baptism of Christ in the River Jordan, and they went back to the Galilee to find Peter to tell him. Have you ever really stopped to realize that Jesus wants you to be someone whose heart is moved to reach out to the lost people around you? Maybe it's just to tell them what Jesus has done in your life, the miracle that you're sitting next to. And if you look around, you're all sitting near miracles, and that's to be sure. In order to achieve the goal in your life, would you be willing to lay aside your personal ambition and plans in order to fully follow Christ? Now, I'm not saying you need to become a deacon, a priest, or walk around with a collar, because that's only a small percentage of Christians. Would you be willing to better reflect the light of Christ to those around you in your words and your actions? Both Deacon Bob and myself had said many times that St. Francis of Assisi is credited with saying, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about how you dress or what you do. It's who you know and who you're willing to share. Look for and take opportunities to share with others not just who Jesus is, but what Jesus has done for you in your life. He cleans you up pretty well, not just on Sundays, I must admit, right? Well, somehow, Jesus brought us all to this little church at 523 East Ward Street to worship with a family that loves each other, who welcomes each other. We are a part of each other's lives. The exciting wedding that's coming up in March. I met with the young couple on Tuesday, and I am so thrilled that Lee and Patrick are going to stand up here and to make their vows before Almighty God in this church. It's going to be packed, but that's what family life is like. How awesome that is. I ask you to do one other thing. Always remember the words that Jesus said. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.